This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I am your host, VLord GTZ, and with me today I have my usual co-hosts, Marion and Sakaki.
Yo, yo, yo,
that's the news.
That's it, folks, we're done. New record, 30 seconds.
Wow, that was faster than the Demon Slayer movie. Breaking records.
I mean, I guess it technically is, because the Demon Slayer movie is like, what, an hour and a half?
True. I meant breaking records, but also true.
Oh, okay. I mean, we haven't sold billions of yen.
No, but we do have millions of... No, we don't. It's okay, though. It's the same listens.
No, we don't have millions of listens.
I mean, we'll get there, though, guys. We will get there.
We have tens of thousands of listens.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
With Rengoku as my witness, we will get there. What do you mean he's not around anymore? Anyway, yeah, so...
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about the February news today, and it's fairly stacked. We have quite a few topics across the board. And our first one here is a little bit interesting. So, earlier in February, it was reported that Japanese politicians were using Demon Slayer designs in their campaign posters.
Oh, God.
So, multiple, like, houses of representatives for Japan's ruling party, the Liberal Democratic Party, were kind of just making posters, and you could clearly see the Demon Slayer logo, and then, like, their names, like, inside the logo, using, like, the Demon Slayer font.
It was so silly, because the first guy, his name is, like, Oniki Makoto, and is, like, using the kanji for Oni, because that's demon. It's, oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that the fact that I would vote for this guy just because he had the balls to do that. just Oni.
Yeah, like, with that picture? I can't believe it.
I mean... Like, bro, if Tanjiro existed, he would definitely be against anything your platform stands for, because you're got owning your name, man.
I just saw his catchphrase on the bottom. It's Genki, Yaruki, Oniki.
I hate it.
It's so dumb.
It's like energy, motivation, Oniki.
It's clearly the Jump motto, just that he just appropriated it for politics.
No wonder Shueisha had to release a statement, we are not involved in any way with the use of these images.
I mean, I think anyone would disassociate from it, because it's just like, it's so obvious. They were just like, oh, hey, Demon Slayer is popular, let's get in touch with the kids.
Yeah, let's not Pokemon go to the polls. No, no, no. We gotta make them Demon Slay the ballot.
I don't.
Yes, totally.
This is going to turn into another 3
because you're not a Zoomy, Sakaki. It's okay.
This is going to turn into another 3-hour show, isn't it?
This is such a great sign.
Actually, we got to come up with a name for the people younger than Zoomies, because that's who this is aimed for, maybe.
It's like Gen Alpha.
Gen Alpha? Okay.
What about Jet Black? Yeah.
The Cowboy Bebop character?
Oh, you said Jen, Alfred. I thought you said Jet. My bad.
But yeah, there's like another one here too, where it's like you can see like Tanjiro's Haori, and like they have flames behind like each of like the, it's like the governor and like the counselor of Amagasaki City, and God, it's just so blatant and bad.
They look like they could be like corporate like Kamen Rider villains.
Stop!
Yeah, this is. And then they literally stole Rengoku's catchphrase, like for one of the cubes.
Yeah, kokoro moyase, set your heart ablaze.
Yeah, well, thankfully, like these folks apologized, because yeah, they were basically just like stealing Demon Slayer assets and be like, hey, Let's use this to manipulate votes.
Good I mean,
old
politics.
Promotion.
I mean, at least from what the article says, that people did were like, "Yo, that's not cool." And so, yeah, that's at least people saw through this.
I mean, it's like, did they honestly think they'd get away with this?
Clearly, they did.
Yeah, I don't have too much else to say about it. I just found it really funny that this is even a thing.
Yeah, like, I guess for people listening, this would be like the equivalent of, imagine if like AOC's opponent decided to like take the Rick and Morty font or something.
Oh god.
Or like, you know, something like that. And for his posters and shit, I don't know.
I just die a little inside. I just that whole image just...
We can move on from this.
Poor Sakaki. He was never seen again.
By the way, everybody, this is my last episode, just to let you all know. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'll never leave.
He likes Sakaki, he died of a cold.
Oh, no! Oh, God.
Okay.
But moving on to less weird news, we got additional information about the Demon Slayer video game, Kimetsu no Yaiba Hinokami Keputan, which is being developed over at Cyber Connect 2, who have done a variety of games, including the Dragon Ball Z Kakarot game and Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm. I've played both of those, and like they're both pretty fun. They're not super complicated, but they're nice time killers. And that seems to be what this Demon Slayer game is, because it's like another arena fighter, kind of like the Ninja Storm games. And yeah, it literally kind of plays like a Ninja Storm game, which didn't surprise me, and honestly I'm kind of fine with, because out of all the anime arena fighters out there, those ones are at least fun to play. Unlike, your Jump Forces of the world.
Oh yeah, true. I really like the style they went with. It literally looks just like the anime, but like, it's kind of like Guilty Gear.
Oh, cel-shaded?
Yeah, cel-shaded, but it's like, how do I call it? Arc System Works, like the way they handled the Dragon Ball FighterZ game. Where it's like, they look like anime designs, but it's clearly like in a 3D plane.
Yeah, it does kind of remind me of that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it helps a lot, because like the anime uses really bold line work for the outlines.
Yeah, it definitely fits. I know some people are kind of disappointed that, like, oh, this isn't a Dragon Ball FighterZ type game, and I would definitely have preferred a FighterZ type game, but for what it is, it seems like it'll be fun. I'll probably pick it up.
Those are the exceptions to the rule. The Dragon Ball FighterZ is the exception to the rule.
Not everything can be a masterpiece.
I mean, I get this, but it's not on anything I own. Oh, well, I have a PC, but I'm not going to try to play anything on it. So, I guess I'm waiting, until I can hang out at V-Lord's house and play his.
Wait, Dragon Ball FighterZ or the Demon Slayer game?
Demon Slayer game. No, I can get Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's on PS4 and Switch.
I was going to say, like, huh, you could definitely get that.
Oh, yeah, no, I could definitely get that. It's out for PS5, Xbox Series, and PC, so have at it.
Yeah, and Xbox One, for some reason.
They put it... Okay, well, that angers me a little bit, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm like, why Xbox One and not the PS4?
Yeah, that's... I have so many words for that, but yeah, that's so weird to me. Like, if this was on PS4, I would definitely pick it up. But it's not. But okay, well, that's fine.
It's because Sony needs to put out more PS5 exclusive shit, or else they won't sell as many PS5s.
Yeah, I mean, part of it too might be like the Xbox doesn't sell very well in Japan, so like to justify putting it on Xbox, it might just make more sense to put it on every Xbox, regardless of how well it will actually run.
Fair, sounds right. Fair, I guess. So, for the two Xbox owners in Japan, I hope you enjoy this. Both of you.
Yeah, they're getting a little treat. That good old Demon Slayer goodness. But yeah, I'll definitely either pick this up on a PC or on a PlayStation 5 if I can somehow manage to get a PlayStation 5 by the time this releases later in 2021.
What sucks is I've never played any of, like, the games that this is kind of similar to, so this could have been my entryway, because I refuse to touch Naruto anything. Yeah, I said it. Good. Come and get me. I'm ready.
I mean, they're pretty fun. Like, the way the CyberTech Connect 2 does their games, it's like, you basically play through, like, the whole story, and the fights themselves are just in, like, one kind of, like, huge, like, dome area, but, like, that's just, like, the shape of the actual field. It doesn't have to be inside an actual dome. They can be environments based off the actual series.
Okay.
It's like if, you know, like, Dragon Ball Z Budokai from, like, PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
Like the Tenkaichi games?
Yeah, like where you're like, well, obviously you're not in the air flying because it's not Dragon Ball Z, but like it's kind of like that same kind of 3D feel.
Okay.
Yeah, except like slightly smaller and not as janky.
Well,
I love myself some Budokai Tenkaichi 3, but man, that game does not hold up well.
Gotta play the OG Budokai 2. That's the only good one.
Budokai 2 was so fun, God.
Yeah, man.
That's definitely, I think, one of the more unique, I think, anime fighters out there, just because, like, they didn't take, like, the direct, like, oh, you just have to fight through the entire anime. Like, the story mode's, like, its own, like, mini board game type game.
Mm-hmm.
God, I miss Budokai 2.
I wish I'd played some of these, but I never owned a PS2, so...
Horace the Cocky.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have a PS2 either, but, like, I had a GameCube, which the first two Budokais came out on, and then by the time I got a Wii, Tenkaichi 2 and Tenkaichi 3 both came out, like, within short succession.
Yeah, I think I got the second Budokai, and then Tenkaichi 1 and 2, and then I kind of fell off. But, yeah, don't Demon Slayer games.
Yeah.
I just hope, well, someday they'll port it to something I have, or I'll get something that it's on. So maybe a PS5 someday.
This is just a sign you have to build a PC, Sakaki.
I should at this point. The fact that this one gives me so much trouble, but I'm afraid with whatever touch I have, whether it's the anti-Midas touch or something else, that I'll build a PC and then it'll, like, die the day after. Or the parts will come and they'll be broken before they get here, because I have that kind of luck.
I will literally stay on a video call with you the entire time you build it to make sure
you heard
that it actually is built right.
You heard it, everybody. You have to hold them to it. But yes, Demon Slayer, we should probably get back to how well it's selling, which is the next subject, isn't it? Manga-wise.
I mean, yeah, sorta. So, the NPD book scan for January 2021 came out, and Demon Slayer, as usual, showed up in the top 20 adult graphic novels and the top 20 manga lists. So, on the adult graphic novels list, Demon Slayer Volume 1 ranked at number 5, and then Demon Slayer Volume 3 was at rank number 19, and Demon Slayer Volume 2 was at rank number 20. And then on the manga list, it was those three volumes, except just one rank up, because the only non-manga thing on the top 20 adult graphic novels list was They Called Us Enemy by George Takei. So the rest of the list was literally just manga. Kind of tells you what kind of graphic novels are succeeding right now in the U.S.
Jeez. Yeah, and looking at this list, it's all, like, really... Yeah, Uzumaki. It's a lot of Volume 1s, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that tends to be a general trend with book scan. Like, usually the top-selling volumes are usually Volume 1s or brand new volumes. Just because those are going to be the entry points always, and...
Bookstores always have Volume 1 stocked.
Yeah, that too. Volume 1s generally have the highest stock.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have the usual contenders here. Jujutsu Kaisen, My Hero, Attack on Titan, Death Note, Uzumaki, because Junji Ito, then
Promise
Neverland, yeah. And even Tokyo Ghoul, because Tokyo Ghoul is still getting bought.
Viz Media is cleaning up, though. I mean, it's all Viz, except for top shelf for George Takei, and Attack on Titan was Kodansha.
Yeah, I mean, they do have the biggest market share right now besides Scholastic for graphic novels. Yeah, it's like I said that one time on our upcoming Saturday Night Shogi episode, like, Komi sells more than the top sellers from any other graphic novel publisher besides Scholastic.
That's my girl. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. These are pretty much My Hero's coming back anime-wise at the end of next month. Promised Neverland is airing. Demon Slayer will be back at the end, later on this year, and Attack on Titan's airing. I mean, not that I'm trying to say there's a correlation between them airing and these selling. I mean, these are all series that do pretty well, even when there isn't an anime on the air, but I mean, it's just interesting to kind of think of it that way.
I think there is truth in that, though, because a lot of people who do end up, like, buying, like, physical manga are usually, like, that's part of why we see a lot of Volume 1s, and it's also, like, Jujutsu Kaisen is a hot seller, but, like, I wouldn't imagine Volume 1 being that high. Like, it's, like, at number 2 now, and I imagine it's, like, definitely because more people are aware of it because of the anime, so.
Yeah.
But the exposure works both overseas and domestically.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, like, I think Jujutsu Kaisen specifically is, like, definitely on there because of the anime. But yeah, I think once people kind of get exposed to these series, like, between word of mouth, promotion, all that stuff, people just keep getting into the series, and that's why you keep seeing, like, so many people flocking to it and, like, buying those Volume 1s consistently.
Yeah.
So I think among anything beyond just, like, hey, Demon Slayer is doing really well, it's also just a sign that the market and the audience for manga in the U.S. is just continuing to grow.
Which is a good thing, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that means we can get more awesome titles out there, maybe even more Demon Slayer-type releases, you never know. True.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Demon Slayer releases, V-Lord, do you want to transition to, Volume 20? And the complete box set?
Wow. That turned very, from, like, subtle to very blunt very fast.
At this way, it would have just been, like, you should have just brought it. You should have just started talking about it. And we would have caught up eventually.
I saw the alley-oop and I had to pull a medium jump.
Oh, God. But yes, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba Volume 20 came out in English from Viz Media on February 2nd. This volume contains chapters 170 to 178, which is primarily the Kokushibo fight. So that's pretty hype.
True.
You get to see Genya not get put back together because they don't have super glue.
V-Lord, that's like around the time where we started recording our manga episodes.
Yeah, it is.
I viscerally remember being on my rooftop yelling about Kokushibo.
And that's the best thing to be yelling about, honestly. Let's be for real.
Yeah, I had a really scuffed headphone mic. It was picking up all the wind.
Oh, the good old days.
Wind breathing. That's what we should have just said. Marion's in the middle of battle right now while they're recording with us, so bear with that in mind. Marion is also
the Black Wind is crying.
Marion is also fighting Kokushibo, so we're getting a bird's eye view of the fight.
We have stupid sexy Yorichi on the cover.
Oh yeah, can't go wrong with Yorichi.
Yes, Yorichi.
And we're only three volumes away from finishing Demon Slayer 2, which is kind of crazy.
And before the light novels are coming after Volume 23.
Yeah, and Kimetsu no Yaiba Gaiden and all the other things.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, because, you know, this very much would mimic, like, the Naruto releases, where, like, the novels came after the main story ended in America.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. And I think it's definitely a lower risk thing because, like, there's only, like, two novels right now.
Speaking of the novels, I mean, I know nobody here knows, but do you think that there'll be more of them?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. As far as, like, well, I didn't even like go into like looking up spoilers for what they are. Like, I don't really care about spoilers, but I didn't care that much. Like, if we get them, we get them. As it is, it's just like supplemental stuff. So I have no idea if like the 2-volume count means that like it's telling like a complete story in 2 volumes, or it's just like, you know, like side stuff happening one book at a time. So, I could see them making more, it really just depends on the editors and the publisher.
If there's demand, they'll make them. And there might be demand considering, like, those 2 novels, like, that are out were, like, the best-selling light novels of last year.
God.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, I would like to read these.
Yeah, I would, too. Like, they'd be really dope to read. But yeah, related to more Viz releases... Recently, Viz had their own little manga direct on their Twitter with a bunch of hype announcements. And among those announcements was actually Demon Slayer 1. They're doing a Demon Slayer complete box set containing all 23 volumes and some exclusive bonus gifts.
So is anybody else upset that it didn't come in the box that Nezuko is in? Like, why was that not just...
I'm not sure if that's the final image or not. I really hope it isn't.
I'm like, pretty sure it isn't, because that's literally just the cover.
Yeah, that's just the first volume cover. And, like, they have put, like, doesn't, like, the One Piece one have, like, a design? Like, they use, like, color spreads or something. Or, like, isn't there one, like, box set that has, like, it's in, like, the shape of, like, a chest or something?
I think they're in shape of chest.
That is the Zelda one.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, that's the Zelda one, yes.
The Zelda one's, like, hella extra. Like, it makes even, like, the, like, chest sound when you open it.
Whoa. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so maybe they will put this in a Nezuko box. You never know.
I did add them to do that, like, months ago.
Marion already headed a game.
Yeah, so, Viz, if you're listening... Listen to Marion and put it in a box. Even though it's probably already finalized what it's going to look like at this point, and there's nothing we can do to stop you from doing whatever.
They probably have my tweet, like, printed and, like, stapled in a file somewhere in the office, like, for future reference.
Yeah, I'm assuming definitely that this is not actually the final image, because, like, for folks who haven't seen it, the image that they post is just all, like, the volumes lined up together. And, like, Viz usually puts a bit of tact into their box sets. Like, I have their Full Metal Alchemist one, and that's actually a really nice, like, kind of big box-type release.
Yeah, and, like, the One Piece ones have, like, handles on them, too, so you can, like, carry them. Yeah,
the Full Metal one also has a handle. It's, like, well hidden, so you usually can't see it in pictures, but it's, like, right at the top. So it's, like, really easy to carry.
Yo. Okay. That's pretty cool, then.
You're gonna put the straps on the Nezuko box. You gotta carry that shit in the train on your back.
But yeah, even though I own most of Demon Slayer already, I'm kind of tempted to buy this.
Not gonna lie, I mean, I have no room for it, but if it does come in the Nezuko box, I will get it.
True.
That's a first day buy for me.
Yeah, I would too. Definitely by the time I move out, I will probably have it.
Clearly we have to keep marrying to that.
Haha, I'm in danger.
We're gonna have a special episode on YouTube where we just have Marion unbox it, and it's going to be amazing.
Marion's crib featuring the Nezuko box.
God, I have an unboxing video in my YouTube channel, but like, I did not know how to edit volume back then, so like, I can redeem myself.
Yes. See everybody? We gotta do this. It's gonna happen. It's confirmed.
But speaking of things that have been confirmed,
yes,
Demon Slayer has now topped 150 million copies in circulation, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, that is absolutely huge. That's so many books out.
Yeah, so like the article that Anime News Network released did like a little breakdown of like when Demon Slayer had like X number of sales. And you can see like April 2019, 3.5 million copies. And end of December 2020, 120 million copies.
That's almost four times.
Yeah, so within the span of just a little over 2 months, or less than 2 months, actually, it's went up 30 million copies in that time alone.
Oh my god. And then from October to December, that's over twice as much. From December to February, that's also like, it's like 75%.
Yeah. And you gotta imagine that's only gonna go up when Mugen Train goes to Blu-ray and then season 2 comes out at the end of the year.
And this is all print. This is not like digital sales or anything, because we never get that.
Well, it says including digital copies.
Oh, it does? Oh, okay.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I am wearing glasses that don't work.
Yeah, it does indeed say that. So, which is interesting. As you said, we usually don't get digital numbers, so I would love to see the breakdown of that because I would like to see that it is digital. But yeah, still, it's still a scary number, whether you include digital or don't. And it's just, to me at this point, I just kind of wonder how far will this go exactly? I mean, probably it'll keep going now that the anime is getting a second season, as we said, and, you know, not everything's been animated. So that's even more of a chance for more people to get into Demon Slayer.
Yeah, so definitely more room to grow. I think we might see Demon Slayer hitting One Piece levels of lifetime sales by the time, like, all of it's fully animated at this rate.
It'd be so funny if Demon Slayer ends up like outweighing like lifetime sales of like One Piece while One Piece is still running.
That would be hilarious. It does make me wonder if like One Piece could actually ever get a year like Demon Slayer has again. Because even its best year was not only like half of what Demon Slayer did last year.
Yeah, we need Marine for two.
I mean, I feel that would just be the ending of One Piece at this point.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what it's been like.
Yeah, no.
Building up towards.
And now JJK is like slowly working its way up the ranks. It's like, how many times do I have to teach you this lesson, old man? That's what Jump is doing right now.
One Piece, you're in my domain now. Oh my god. My manga has all the properties of selling and not selling.
Stop. Stop.
But looking at, like, I quickly looked up best-selling manga of all time, just like the rankings. So right now at 150 million, that would put Demon Slayer at number 8 of the bestsellers, just 7 million underneath Kochikame. So within the next few months, it's probably going to overtake Kochikame, the longest running manga of all time by volume count. 23 volumes of Demon Slayer are going to beat out 200 volumes of Kochikame.
You know, when you put it that way, I'm terrified, actually.
That's crazy.
Like, what did I mean, of course, we all love Demon Slayer, but this is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, the pressure for, like, Gotouge's next work is going to be insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's eyes are going to be on that.
Like, I don't think Jump is going to have crazy high expectations, because, like, I don't think they're going to want to see what happened with Kishimoto with Samurai 8. But there's still going to be definitely pressure to, like, make sure it's a success and that it will be a series that's a hit. Because, like, after, like, this big of a series that's becoming, like, a national phenomena, like, you don't want to have a flop.
Yeah, no more Samurai flop.
At this point, it's not even a national phenomenon. It's going to be a worldwide phenomenon because, yeah, I can't. I mean, I don't. I don't see probably, like, Mugen Train. Well, then again, nobody saw Mugen Train doing this much. Because I was about to say, even when it comes over here, I would kind of wonder if it would have the same kind of towering presence as it does in Japan. But at this point,
I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either. But at this point, anything is possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting it to do, like, as well as, like, an MHA movie over here, which is still going to be really good. Like, the MHA movies did quite well, but I don't think we're going to see, like, Dragon Ball Broly levels of success. Or, like, higher.
You sound so dejected.
I mean, no. I'm just...
Wait, what, Mario?
No, Mario saying I sound dejected. No, I was just like, no, okay, I get that. I mean, I guess it did come off sounding like, oh, wow, I thought this with V-Lord just, like, took all of the wind out of my sails.
My dreams are broken!
No, it was just...
V-Lord crushing dreams one by one. I mean,
this is what it was like to, like, try to do a manga fight with you. You just crushed all of us with your relentless logic.
It's like you took the wind out of your sails and then put that in sales of the 2020 manga sales at Japanese bookstores going up 31.5%.
God damn it.
I love it. I love it.
Crazy if you ask me.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh my God. But yes, moving on. As Marion said, her next piece is how 2020 manga sales at Japanese bookstores went up 31.5% from 2019. And we kind of talked about kind of general book sales performance in the previous episode. But the gist of it here is that this kind of just like looked at kind of a comparison between sales and accounted for about 1,700 stores across Japan. And yeah, the main contributor to a lot of these sales was Demon Slayer's massive success. And that helped just boost bookstores all across the board. So yeah, just Demon Slayer is saving everything, like, expected.
Yeah. They didn't need to open up restaurants in New York. They should have just sold more Demon Slayer.
Oh my God.
No, what they should do is sell Demon Slayer takeout food.
God.
Demon Slayer Uber.
Instead of Mushu pork, it's going to be Mushu Inosuke.
I mean, the Nezuko box could also be applied here. We could have Demon Slayer Uber. You just put your food back there and... I mean, you could have Demon Slayer food delivered by Demon Slayer Uber. There you go.
Oh my God.
God.
But the Demon Slayer fervor just doesn't end because there's going to be an art exhibition of Demon Slayer in Tokyo in late 2021.
Why did Daryl use that photo of Inosuke as the header?
Oh my God, he did. Yeah, so we're looking at Daryl Harding's article for this from Crunchyroll, Daza, awesome person. We've had him on the podcast before. And yeah, he put like Inosuke like with his mask off, like chilling in like one of the ends. He's doing like the side pose with the smile.
Yeah, when he's like showing off to Tanjiro that he took the best futon or whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, you can get a good look at those Inosuke legs. He doesn't skip leg day.
God.
That boy thick.
But anyways, as you'd expect, this exhibit will be based around Gotoge's original artwork for the manga, and will feature a few original drawings from Gotoge themselves. And another notable thing is that this exhibit will also be in Osaka in mid-2022. So if you're like myself and don't think you're going to be able to go to Japan this year, hope that things are more opened up by next year, because I really want to see this.
I mean, obviously we need to broadcast from there. Just go there and record an episode as we're walking around until they throw us out anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll be able to film inside, but I think definitely if at least one of us goes, we need to find a way to talk about it. And hey, maybe we can find someone that goes to it this fall in Tokyo and ask them about their experiences. But this is something I definitely want to go to.
Yeah, if anything, I really want to make the Osaka one.
Yeah, definitely. And the specific dates for it for this year are from October 26th to December 12th at the Mori Arts Center Gallery. So yeah, if you are in Japan and you want to go see this, that's where you have to go. Meanwhile, I'll just be crying about how I can't.
Don't worry, V-Lord. There's Osaka 2022. You can do it, man. I believe in you. I believe in the world.
The land of Heiji.
Yeah. You know what else will hopefully be coming in 2022 if we don't get it in 2021?
What will that be, Marion?
It might be Gotoge's new series. Whoa.
These physicians are amazing.
That one was actually good, though.
Shut up. They're all good.
You see, I said they were amazing. It was V-Lord that threw you that shat on you just now. And I'm throwing him under the bus there. But yes, the Gotouge, there was a recent art book that, fan book. And Gotouge kind of, mentioned in there that they were interested, they've been watching old movies about aliens, and they were talking about how the impression they had of aliens as a kid were completely different than now as when they're an adult. And they want to draw a science fiction and romantic comedy that'll make your stomach muscles ache from laughter after reading it. So that would be quite a different angle from Gotouge if they go through with this.
Gotouge is going from the One Piece killer to the Gintama killer.
We've discussed this. Gotouge already killed Gintama. It tried to resist against it, and it got slain.
I think the real reason is that Gotouge just, like, decided to buy and read the three volumes of Invade You.
No. Oh, they did. What they did was, after Togashi praised Demon Slayer, they went ahead and read Level E.
Oh, God. But where the romantic elements come from? Because Level E is not romantic.
It is if you turn your head to the side and squint really hard.
Oh, my God. But yeah, I can't say that I would be interested in seeing if Gotouge pursues this. I mean, just like as we were just saying, it'd be a huge pressure to pull this off and for it to be successful. But
guys.
What's up?
What if Kaguya-sama, but on the moon?
Okay.
Like actual Kaguya-hime.
Fine, let's do it. let's do it.
Very direct reference to Kaguya-hime.
Yeah.
Fine, let's do it. I mean, I demand they have at least one mech. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
True. Let's give them the Thunderbolt Gundam.
I wasn't gonna,
because that's a mystery.
I wasn't gonna say Gundam, but okay. Or no, I wanted to say Gundam, but I was just like, I don't want to say that because, like, that's like the default go to mecha thing, and I couldn't think of one that wasn't Gundam. But I'm glad you said it for me.
Yeah, this policy is Gundam Thunderbolt. Maybe it's a Shueisha title. Who knows?
I mean, I can't reward you for that one, but Gotouge got an award.
Ooh, nice one. And what award is that?
Well, Gotouge was the first mangaka to make the Times 100 Next List.
Oh, shit. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't have associated manga with the Times at all, but here we are.
I like how the picture that was chosen for, like, this highlight is, like, the crow, like, squawking at Tanjiro.
Oh, God, it is.
Hear ye! Koyogaru Gotouge is the first mangaka on the Time 100. Squawk!
That was perfect, actually. Why are you not in the dub?
I don't know, man. People just don't... They don't know.
They slept on... I mean, the dub hasn't missed too much, but they missed in this regard.
I'm about to interview me for the next episode.
Yeah, next episode will be us interviewing Marion and how they didn't get the part. But...
Marion, where did it all go wrong? Who snubbed you at Banzu? Point fingers.
I think they were just jealous because I spent so much time already just, like, writing the actual manga. It's okay.
Oh, though. Snap!
Anyway.
But this is a really cool thing to get. It's like...
Yeah, the actual, like, inclusion of the in Time magazine comes from the fact that, like, the most amazing, like, achievements is basically from, like, this year, just how many sales have been made thanks to, like, the box office records for Mugen Train, and then, like, the manga itself is just, like, breaking records. That makes Gotouge, like, a very, like, I guess, like, a very hot person right now to, like, you know, keep your eyes on. This is, like, a crazy entrepreneur who's, like, making big moves.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely, like, the fact that Demon Slayer has become a phenomenon in Japan, and, like, it's literally been supporting the economy and also, like, keeping, like, industries afloat, which, like, that in itself makes it a big deal. Though it is kind of interesting seeing, like, Gotouge on the same list as people like Dua Lipa and, like, Sola El Wally.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, it's definitely a good thing for Gotouge, but yeah, it's just weird to think about. Especially since, like, you know, Demon Slayer
it's not, it, first of all, it's only about, what, 24 volumes? Yeah, that's what we said, 24. So, 23, wow, I'm a whole volume off. But yeah, it's like, it's not like Demon Slayer was particularly long, or that it, like, changed the entire DNA of what a shonen manga is. So, I mean, it's weird to think about it as up there and there, and I don't want to make it sound like it doesn't deserve it, but it's like, it's just weird to think about, like, this manga that is, for the most part, just another Jump serialization. And obviously, you know, it's resonated with people, and that's why it's selling so well, but still interesting to think about it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to think about the Time 100 Next List is that it's not people that are necessarily going to be, like, revolutionizing the world. It's people that are going to be big names in the coming years. But moving on. Mugen Train was named Topic of the Year at the Japan Academy Awards. And, like, the other nominees for this category, too, were kind of pretty big names. I mean, Violet Evergarden, the movie, Stand By Me, Doraemon 2, The Tiger and the Fish. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty stiff competition, and Mugen Train trumped it all, because it's Mugen Train.
Yeah, I'm impressed too, because, like, Doraemon is such a household name, and Stand By Me Doraemon, the first one, was just like, I saw a talk about it everywhere when it first came out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I saw the first Stand By Me Doraemon, and it was amazing, so I can only assume the second one was equally as good. So yeah, I mean, like, that is a high praise for it to get, like, the Topic Award.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, all the movies on here I've heard pretty, like, decent things about. Like, none of them are on here that it's like, oh, that wasn't a very good movie. Like, all of these are, I would say, I mean, maybe not the top of their game, but they're all, like, well-regarded.
Wow, it's almost like the nominees for an award are deserving of it.
Gasp.
You know what else was nominated for awards? We got the Osamu Tezuka Cultural Prize, and 3 Jump titles, including Demon Slayer, were nominated for it.
Yes, that's right. We have Demon Slayer, of course, Jujutsu Kaisen, and The Promised Neverland. And also among them, just to throw Sakaki a bonus, Free Ren from Shonen Sunday.
Yes.
Indeed. We will definitely talk more about this later. But yes, I mean, like, the Jump titles hasn't Promised Neverland been here already before? Or am I thinking of another award? There's so many of them.
I don't know if... it was, but I don't know if it won it or not.
No, I don't think it won. But I do remember it being nominated before.
Yeah. It's worth knowing Demon Slayer has also been nominated before. It was nominated last year. Yeah, it's getting nominated again.
But will it win?
I find it funny because, like, we were talking about Akimoto earlier,
Kochikame, yeah, and he's one of the judges on the committee, the guy that drew Kochikame.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how salty he's
gonna be. Oh, Dotage is so close to beating my sales. I need to find a way to sabotage them.
I'm voting for Frieren.
he's a sleeper agent for Sunday in Disguise. He's gonna move Black Tiger to Shonen Sunday, or I don't know, Big Comic.
Let's go. Sunday GX, yeah. Let's go. We need a Revy versus Black Tiger.
Black Tiger will go to GX, and then Mr. Cleek will go to Gesson.
Yes. Then but V-Lord, if it goes to GX, then we can have Black Tiger Lagoon.
Literally, why? Also, yeah, I double checked in 2019, Neverland was nominated. So it wasn't nominated in 2020, but I guess, like, it's back after a 1-year gap. So cool.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the list now. I mean, I knew Free Run was, but I, like, kind of mentally ignored the rest of them.
They don't exist. They can't hurt us.
I mean, I had my Sunday. I blocked the rest of the internet. I only had my Sunday, like, visor on. So hold on a second. Oh, JJK Land. I've heard good things about. But yeah, so I mean, that's a pretty big deal for it to be nominated. I mean, will it win? Who knows at this point? I mean, the competition. I've heard of a lot of these manga, but I haven't read them, so I don't know. I mean, I'm rooting for Free Ren evenly for it to win, but we'll see.
Yeah, so like last year, the grand prize went to Nick Snow Lantern by Kon Takahama.
Hmm. What publisher?
That's Lead Publishing.
I've not actually heard of that publisher before.
They publish a few of Takao Saito's works.
There's one thing here, Kashikoite Yuki Aru Kodomo. That's by Lead Publishing, by Miki Yamamoto. That's been nominated for this year, so they got something else. They got something in the race here, too. But, yeah, this is basically a surprise that Kodansha's seemingly only got one.
I mean, it's better than last year where Shogakukan had none.
It's not, we don't talk about 2020.
But before we make Sakaki more sad, our next topic we kind of mentioned briefly in that Mugen Train is now in Australia and New Zealand and actually opened at number one.
Nice.
Mugen Train just stays winning.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I guess like there probably isn't a ton of competition, given we're still in a pandemic and most films are delayed. But that's still a good sign that, yeah, people are going to see the movie, and it seems to be getting good reception. I mean, we saw Yonko praising it, so we can clearly take Yonko's opinion to represent the entirety of Australia.
I mean,
that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anybody else wants to come in, wants to comment and tell us by the time this is out whether they're in Australia and they have different opinions, we are more than happy to hear them. Unless they're against the movie, then we don't care.
Yes, clearly. Only positive opinions matter.
Because you remember, because we are very much in tune with Kimehara. So if you have anything nasty to say about this movie, we are not interested. I don't know if we actually, did we ever like talk about Kimehara on here before?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I mean, just as kind of a side note, I only heard of this because Fukuchi, a Sunday mangaka, mentioned it, but there's a whole thing in Japan called Kimehara, which is short for Kimetsu Harassment, and it's really just...
Oh, yeah, this was brought up.
Yeah, it's really just anybody in Japan that isn't, you know, a sheeple and says that Kimetsu is not the best shit out there, then you get Kimehara'd.
Yeah, it was a big topic back in like fall and November, so we probably would have talked about it if we had been doing news episodes back then, but yeah. Don't be a Kimehara person. That's not cool.
Yeah, no, everybody's allowed their own opinions even if they're wrong.
Definitely not. But you know what is cool? Kimetsu no Yaiba's Yo, the Demon Slayer Season 2 anime for you know, the television anime is going to come out this year.
Yeah, I mean, so at the Demon Slayer Matsuri Online 2nd Anniversary Festival, they announced Season 2 of Demon Slayer, and that, yes, it is a TV anime that's going to adapt the Entertainment District arc, or also known as the Red Light District arc. And they showed off a short little preview, which looked really dope. You got to see a little bit of a Daki and Uzui, and it is exciting. And it's interesting that it is coming out this year, because earlier we had reported on the fact that there were kind of talks about the future of Demon Slayer. But given this timeline, it definitely sounds like maybe this was in production before even those talks had begun. So who knows, maybe after this season, Demon Slayer will go back to movies.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me, because, like, this arc is just too long for one single movie. But, like, maybe the Swordsman Village arc will be, like, just enough for it to be, like, a good movie.
I think Swordsman Village would still have to be two movies, because it's roughly just as long as Entertainment District.
Maybe we get a movie for the final arc with Muzan's Castle.
I mean, Gintama did it, so Gintama did a movie for its final arc, so that's not unique or like far out there as an idea. Though then again, there was a whole thing with Sorachi's inability to end the series that caused that to happen. So yeah, I definitely get the idea that, well, I mean, just like you just said, that perhaps while they were discussing it, it wasn't talks to be a movie, and then finally they just said, nah, we'll just make it a TV anime. I don't know what the process might be to like split it up into TV episodes if the animation was far enough along, but I can't imagine it would be that difficult, but then again, I don't know anything, so.
Yeah, I mean, what I could see happening here is, like, they air this later this year, possibly fall, and then early to mid next year, they release the Entertainment District arc as like a series of compilation movies, or otherwise we just get more movies after Entertainment District arc. Because I don't think they're going to just shy away from doing more movies, because that is far too lucrative.
Yeah, no, I don't see them never again. I think more likely than not, I mean, especially since, although we joked about it earlier, the Gintama's last movie did do pretty well for it. So I could see them doing a final arc as a movie. If not that, like, maybe the last couple of fights or something.
At the very least, the final fight against Muzan, I could see being just one big movie.
Yeah, that specifically I could see happening.
Now they're going to split into three movies like The Hobbit.
And the last movie is just everything after the actual fight itself. Yeah, so I was talking to Laser Kid and Allison about this when we recorded our breaking news episode about the second season. And I think what's likely going to happen with it is, like, for the first episode, it's probably going to pull an MHA and, like, do a recap episode of the film.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they still have to do, like, the ending of the arc where, like, Tanjiro visits Rengoku's family. So, like, they could have, like, for the first, like, maybe half the episode or something, just have Tanjiro reminisce about Akaza ruining everything.
Zurajanai Akazata. Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I didn't know that you heard me. How do you think anybody heard me?
We hear all now. You can't escape us.
You sound like a demon there yourself, V-Lord. Does that mean we're almost done?
Maybe I was always a demon and you just never knew.
I kind of think that maybe all of our weird puns and transitions have turned you into one.
But yeah, that wraps up all our news for this episode. It was pretty stacked, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot to report on.
Yeah, especially for a series that's, like, over, really.
Yeah, and I expect that we're only going to see more news coming out as we get closer to Season 2 and Mugen Train coming out in the U.S. It's going to be an interesting year, I think.
Demon Slaying never stops.
It really doesn't. But until we are bombarded with more Demon Slayer news, let's get out of here. So, Marion, where can people find you?
Whoa, people can find me on Twitter at Microwavy, the Eat Before the Beat. And I also co-host a bunch of other podcasts like the Good Friends Anime Club. Sometimes I guest on the MHA pod. Sometimes I also guest on, or I co-host the Haiku pod. And I'm on Oversoul with you two. A bunch of projects. They're all in my card, which is on my Twitter. And besides that, I also write reviews for Sakaki's WSS Talkback blog. Expect something soon, TM. I write personal reviews on my... I write other reviews on my personal blog at sevensdoorknob.wordpress.com. I recently got something from Iridori Comics. So I got to review Dojinshi for the first time. That was fun. Expect something new as well on that site. And I also write editorials for Toonami Faithful at ToonamiFaithful.com. I do have another idea in the works. Talking with my editor, CJ, about it. Expect that also soon. TM. But yeah. Everything's on my Twitter if you care enough to check out what else I do.
And we do. We do care about you a lot.
Awesome. And Sakaki.
You can find me at WSS Talkback on Twitter and wsstalkback.blogspot.com on where I discuss Shonen Sunday and all the great things that are in there that are besides Conan and Rumiko Takahashi. So, and if anybody wants to be a part of that, like Marion is, please, by all means, hit us up on Twitter or on the blog. If it could be any Shonen Sunday series or any Shogakukan series, really. New, old, whatever you want to write. I mean, like, we actually got probably by the time this is out, we'll have a review up for the newest Shonen Sunday anime from Maiko-san Chi no Makanai-san, which the name, the English name is escaping me right now. But yeah, somebody offered to write a review for that, and I actually just finished proofreading it, and it looks good. So it'll probably be going up on Sunday, the 28th.
Also, the English name's Kyo and Kyoto from the Maiko House.
Thank you, V-Lord. So, and from the review, I haven't watched the episode yet, but from the review, it sounds like a really charming show. And the manga's really charming, so that makes sense. But yeah.
I like the opening. It's really cute.
Yeah, this whole show sounds adorable from this review. And from the little bits I've seen, I was kind of worried about the 3D CG, but it looks like it works really well. Anyway, before I get too off topic, I also write for Toonami Faithful, and I'm also, as Marion mentioned, I'm on Oversoul. We're also going to have a Shonen Sunday podcast, so we'll have all kinds of Shonen Sunday fun on that on Saturday Night Shagi, which I'm with V-Lord and Marion. And Kirobon, at Kirobon, K-I-I-R-O-B-O-N on Twitter. That's my main Twitter, which I'm trying to do things with it, but it is what it is. And yeah, that is generally where you can find me right now.
Awesome. Definitely follow both Marion and Sakaki. They both do amazing work, so go give them some love. As far as I'm concerned, though, you can find me on Twitter at VLORGTZ, and you can find my more manga and light novel-focused reviews over on all-comic.com, as well as my occasional editorials on TonamiFaithful.com. And then I also do a wide variety of podcasts. The Oversoul Shaman King podcast on Twitter at Shaman King Pod. The Dumb Weebs podcast on Twitter at Dumb Weebs Pod. Our new baby, Saturday Night Shagi, like Sakaki mentioned, on Twitter at Sat Night Shagi. And yeah, I also occasionally pop up on the Manga Mavericks on Twitter at Manga Mavericks. And the Toonami Faithful podcast on Twitter at Toonami Podcast. But as far as the Demon Slayer podcast is concerned, you can find that on Twitter at DSlayer Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/DemonSlayerPodcast, and on the Toonami Faithful website itself at ToonamiFaithful.com/DemonSlayerPodcast. And the podcast is on basically everything out there. Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Podbay, you name it, we're there. So just go look us up, subscribe, and enjoy. But that does it for this episode, so we will see you guys later.
Stay slaying.
Good night.